Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Last week we went through Proverbs chapter 29, and the message was be different. And that living a godly life is living a different way of life. We're supposed to be separate and not touch the unclean thing. In verses 1 through 4 of chapter 29, as we go in through review, the issue that we need to understand as far as principles live by is you can't get away with sin. It will come. Whatsoever you sow, that you will reap. He will by no means clear the guilty. And righteousness does everybody good in verse 2. We need to keep wise company instead of being company with foolish people. And then also being just and doing justice and right is fundamental to a Christian's life. Secondly, we need to be aware of traps. There are plenty of traps out there. All you have to do is just look around and they're there. And so don't fall into the traps of flattery. Don't fall into the traps of habitual sin. I just can't stop myself. Oh, yes, you can. You serve a small God if you can't stop. God gives all grace and He gives all power to do that. Don't fall into the trap of ignoring right causes. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth not. To him it is sin. Don't fall in the trap of becoming scornful and wrathful and hateful, because that brings strife and bitterness inside the church. Don't fall into the trap of contending with the implacable. There are some people you just can't please. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, you need to mark them and not follow. And it says in Romans, it says, mark them that are unruly among you. And if they're unruly, tell them they're unruly and then just leave it there and pray for them. And then lastly, be aware of the trap of hatred. And there is a lot of opportunity for that today, isn't there? In verses 11 through 17, we need to watch with discretion to what you say. Watch with discretion to what or whom you give your attention to. Watch with discretion to whom you owe your life. It's not yourself. You owe our life. Everyone owes their life to God. We're here tonight by the grace of God. And then watch with discretion and judgment. Watch your discretion and discipline, especially how you discipline your children. And then also watch with discretion to the future end. Understand that God is going to come back and judge us and judge the world. And so we need to be prepared for that. So watch with discretion. Verses 18 through 21, be a servant of God in seeing, in hearing, in speaking, and then lastly, in love. And then lastly, do not be an angry man. Do not be a proud man. God resist that. Do not be an evil man. Do not be a fearful man. Because perfect love casteth out what? All fear. If we're scared of something, we haven't committed it to God. Do not be an unscrupulous man. We need to be people of integrity. And then lastly, do not be an unjust man. So in chapter 30, as we move on, and we'll take a week break next week. Remember, next Wednesday night, we're not having services. Wednesday night, we're having services Thursday night, Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock. Lessons we need, okay? The bottom line is this. Lessons needed are lessons that we should heed. Lessons heeded are lessons that we should follow. And so we find tonight a new person. And we find this teacher in verse 1. And Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1, it says, the words of Agur, the son of Jecheth, even the prophecy. Go, it's got to be God's word if it's prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even to Ithiel and Leal. This is the only verse that you find these three names. And obviously, Agur was the teacher in here. And his name means to be a gatherer. And so a lot of Bible scholars say that he just kind of gathered all these Proverbs and started teaching them, and that his two students are Ithiel and Ucal. You know, every word in God's book is inspired, and it's profitable, isn't it? It's profitable for doctrine and for instruction and for reproof and for correction. So this is not Solomon. Solomon would have been well to have followed these. So we see here the teacher. And then the next thing is why did Agur learn? Because he was motivated to do this. In verse 2 and 3, the thing is, he understood his need to learn. Look at what he writes here. He says, "Surely I am more brutish than any man." Sounds like Paul, right? He says, "God came to save sinners, of which I am what? Chief." So he has the right attitude here of being humble. And he acknowledges that in his previous state, he didn't have any understanding at all. He says, "And have not the understanding of a man." You know, God wants us as adults to understand him. He wants all of his creation to understand him and to follow him. And then he says, "I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy." You know, for someone to get fixed of something, they need to understand that they need something to be fixed. You need to know that you have some issues. And folks, there are too many people thinking, "I'm okay." Folks, Job was okay. He was right in God's eyes, and he still had to learn a lesson. And I use Job because of the next verse. Agur realized that he didn't know God. He asked this question. He says, "Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended?" Sounds familiar, right? When Job was trying to justify himself, or he was justifying himself in front of his friends who were basically saying he was a sinner, he makes all these statements about, and he doesn't understand why God does this. And then God appears to him in a whirlwind. And then God asks these questions. These are things about the character of God. Folks, the character of God should allow us, or should motivate us, to learn about him. "Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name?" We know his name. His name is God. His name is Jehovah. His name is Lord. His name is Yahweh. But then there's an interesting phrase on the end of this. "See, to know God, you must know his Son." You can't know God and have a relationship with God the Father unless you know God the Son. And look at what he says here. "And what is his Son's name, if thou canst tell?" So the teacher realized he understood that he had a need to learn. And then he realized that he did not know God. And folks, all the things we need to know is it found in God. Thirdly, he respected what he learned from God's word. We need to learn this lesson today. Because there's a lot of people out there that say they love God, but they don't do his word. That doesn't make sense. You're being a hypocrite. You're being a hypocrite. So in verses 5 and 6 here, it says, "Every word of God is pure." Now, a lot of people say, well, he just gathered up these sayings from David. Because we see David say things like this. We saw Job say things like that. And that's why they say he just kind of gathered all these things up. But gathering God's truth is a good thing. He said, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." Now, there's an issue here. The fact is that every word of God is pure. Every word. You can't take anything out of God's word or add anything to it. You can't ignore the Old Testament.
That's right.
You can't ignore it. It is God's standard. And you have to do what God, Christ says in the New Testament. It's all there. And it's all what? Pure. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says, whatsoever things are what?
Pure.
If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, in Galatians, in Revelation, there is a warning. In Galatians, there's a warning that you don't add to the gospel. If someone preaches any other gospel than what Paul preached, let him be what?
Accursed.
In the last book of the Bible, the last chapter, it says, if you add or you take away, then
the plagues
of that book is going to be on top of you. It says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. There's a whole religion that's got a different Bible. A second one. It's called the Book of Mormon. It's false. This book, and they say, well, we follow the Bible. If you follow the Bible, you wouldn't be looking at that one. Because it says you don't add to it. You don't add to it. So, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And see, the issue is, you need to understand your need to learn. Then you need to understand, basically, where you are, okay? In your following God. And then, that you don't understand God. And then, when you learn about God, you need to respect what He teaches. And then lastly, this leads to requiring, he requested God's help. It's kind of like Solomon. Solomon said, hey, I'm getting ready to rule this and I want wisdom. David said, I want understanding in order to rule. So in verses 7 through 9 here, he says two things. He says, two things have I required of thee, deny them not before I die. Christ said, if you ask anything according to His will, He will what?
Do it.
Anything according to His word, He will do it. So these things are in God's will. And folks, it would be a wonderful thing for us to ask for the two things that Agur asked for here. The first one is, remove far from me vanity and lies. Okay? That's the first one. Let me live in your truth. Let me do things that are purposeful and have a glory to you. And then the next one, give me neither poverty nor riches. My God shall supply what? All your need. Paul says, I know whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in all these things, all the things necessary for your physical life will be added unto you. The Bible says that everything in the book is for life and godliness. So you have all these things here. He says, let me be content. Let me not waste my time. And it's a waste of time if you're not serving God. That's vanity. It's a waste of time. He says, let me not waste my time. Let me serve you. And then let me be content with what you provide me. And he says, feed me with food convenient or enough for me. Not too little, not too much, but like Goldilocks, just right. Just right. Why? Why did Agur ask for this? these two things. He says, lest I be full and deny thee. He could look back into the national history of Israel, and when they got the promised land and they were eating off the fat of the land, they got lazy and they stopped following God. Okay? And say, who is the Lord? Oh, remember? All caps? Yahweh. Okay? So he says, hey, I need to be content with what God gives me and not have too much, or I'll be like the Laodicean church and forget that I'm blind and naked and miserable. And I'll deny the Lord. Or, lest I be poor and steal, which is against what? God's law, and take the name of my God in vain. See, there's an interesting principle here. If we say we're a Christian and we think we love the Lord, we say we love the Bible, we don't do what the Bible says, we're basically taking that word in vain. We're saying that it's not right because it doesn't apply to me. It applies to everybody. It applies to everybody. So he requested God's help, God's way, and guess what happened? He got it. He got it. So now there are, the most of the rest of this chapter is in things that Agur had learned. And these are lessons that we should learn too. The first one is, there is a bad result for falsely accusing someone. In verse 10 it says, accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he what? Curse thee, and thou be found guilty. Now, here's an interesting story. In 1 Kings chapter 11, there is a servant in Solomon's household who is named Jeroboam. Jeroboam was an industrious person. And Solomon, he was also a valiant man and a great warrior. So Solomon put him over the house of Joseph, made him a ruler. And then one day, Jeroboam meets a prophet of God who says, take this new garment and put it into 12 pieces. And you take 10 and you give me 2. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to get 10 of the tribes, and then there's going to be 2 tribes that are left for the Lord. And the reason why is because Solomon didn't follow God's wisdom. Solomon worshipped all of these other gods because he had his wives turn his heart against God to make peace inside the family. He was doing that, but he couldn't make peace with that because he was falling away from God. And so Jeroboam becomes the first king of the northern kingdom because Rehoboam, who doesn't listen to Solomon's proverbs, is not wise. He doesn't listen to the old friends. He listens to the young guys who are all about power and flattery and lies. He says, I'm going to make my rule much harsher on you, Israel, than my daddy. And it split up the kingdom. It's interesting, if you read in 1 Kings 11, that Solomon found out about this. And he wanted to kill Jeroboam. To the extent that Jeroboam had to run and run down to Egypt and hide under Shishak until Solomon died. And then he came after Rehoboam did what he did, and then he took the kingdom because he was a mighty man. This is what happens when you let a servant rule you and you falsely accuse him. Okay? And so this is an interesting thing. Folks, if we don't do truth, if we don't follow God, things will happen in a negative way. So now there are, in verses 11 through 14, there is the characteristics of a faithless generation. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. Read these verses. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. This seems to be a characteristic of man in society. See, every generation is like that. Sound familiar? Paul writes to Timothy. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a what? Form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. See, nothing ever changes. Don't think you have a better idea than what God's truth says. Man started out wicked, and he's wicked today. And it's only going to get worse until Christ puts everything back in order. And so, sounds familiar. The Bible's as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago with Augur teaching his two pupils. He says, there's a generation. Christ even said it. See, the Bible is consistent from one end to the other. So he says, there is a consequence of falsely accusing someone. There are characteristics of a faithless generation. Are any of those characteristics in your life? You need to get rid of them tonight. And then there are some illustrations. The first one is greed is never satisfied. In verses 15 and 16, it says, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. Okay, so what does a horse leech do? It sucks your blood. Okay? There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things, say not, it is enough. The grave, and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. If you're a greedy person, you'll never be satisfied just like this. Where do we get the greed from? Give, give. I want. I want. I'm not satisfied. Hey, two requests I have. Keep me from what? Vanity and lies. And give me neither poverty nor riches. Let me be content. Folks, the first thing to get over greed is to have a relationship with God. And then realize that you own nothing, God owns everything. And then the second thing is, follow what God says and don't be covetous. But you'll do that if you love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. So the thing is that a greedy person is never satisfied. Mockery causes blindness. in verse 17, it says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. Sounds kind of familiar to what Christ was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you made the commandments of God none effect by your tradition. He says, the ravens. Now here's a good picture. Do you want this to happen to you? The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now we're not talking about eagles, we're talking about vultures. There's plenty of vultures out around here, turkey buzzards and everything else. What do they eat? They eat dead things. So do you want to be dead? Mock your father and mother. Mock the God that created them. Mock your neighbor. Mock your coworker. Folks, we shouldn't do that at all. God did. Why should we? Why should we? So the issue is that greed is never satisfied, and mockery causes blindness. It says that the light of the body is what? The eye. What's being plucked out here? The eye. See, what is your eyes on? This has got all sorts of applications. Job says, I put no wicked thing before my eyes. Okay? James says, don't let people say God tempts me. He says, every man is what? Tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. See that? It all comes from the eyes. The hypocrisy of immorality. This is a problem in the church. People live together, they go to church together, and they think it's okay. It's not. People have affairs, and they break God's union, and they come to church, and it's okay. My previous church, we even had a wife swap. That's sacrilege. Sacrilege. See, it's stupid. And people say, well, I'll get away with it. We've seen Proverbs say, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be what? Burnt. So the illustration is in verse 20. And so we're going to read it all. It says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. Now, see, this is an interesting thing. It says these are wonderful. This is not a wonderful thing, because 20 sums it up. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of the serpent upon a rock, the way of the ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And look at verse 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Now, what is in common the things in verse 19? No, they leave no trace. You see a bird fly through the air, and there's no trail. You see a serpent on the rock, and it leaves no trace of its being. You see the ship going across the sea, and there's wake for it, and then it disappears. There's a little bit of action for a while, and the way of a man with a maid, it's all internal, okay? And the point is this. It's that the adulterer thinks that they're going to get away with it and there is no trace. That is not true. Okay? She eateth, which means that you destroy, and then wipeth her mouth and said, I've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing wrong. We've seen this in the early chapters of this. So come, I put my peace offerings out. I've done all these other things. Folks, be careful of being enticed immorally. Don't look at it. Get rid of it. Take it off your computer. Take it off your TV set. Get rid of that stuff. Get rid of all of it. And stay true to your spouse. Period. Period. Because if you say, I'll get away with it, you're a hypocrite. God will judge. Next one. Chaos ensues when God's natural order is refused. Chaos ensues when God's natural order is refused. Verses 21 through 23. It says, for three things the earth is what? Disquieted. It doesn't make sense. It's not at peace. And for four, which it cannot what? Bear. Okay? For a servant when he reigneth. Ah, there's that Jeroboam thing again. Okay? And a fool when he was filled with meat because he thinks he's okay. An odious woman when she's married. Need I say anything else? That just doesn't make a good relationship at all, right? And then, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Think of an Old Testament story. Her name was Hagar. And Sarah. And what happened? Abraham didn't wait long enough for the promise of God. He takes things in his own hands at the prompting of who? Sarah says, this isn't working out for us. So you take Hagar and you get her pregnant and then she'll bear a baby on my knees and it'll be our kid. And Ishmael happens. Now folks, if it's not in accordance with God's truth, don't do it. It was not the promise. So what happens? Ishmael gets born. He grows up. Isaac is born years later. He is weaned. And what happens? Hagar mocks Sarah. And Sarah has to, once they're kicked out, and Abraham, now Abraham's in a mess. You know why? Because his heart is torn. Folks, that's what happens. This illustration is used in the book of Galatians, folks. It says you can't be torn by trying to do your old thing and keeping the law and then living under grace. It doesn't work that way. See, God's way is grace. It's not being religious. And when you refuse God's way of grace, it leads to chaos in your life. It leads you to be double-minded. And you're unstable in all your ways. You're like a wave driven with the wind and tossed. You could be carried about with any sleight of doctrine. Folks, it's important to follow God's order in your spiritual life, too. These things just don't bring peace. And you can't be living away from God and doing the wrong thing and be at peace with God. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And why are these things talked about salvation? Because Christ talked about being ready for the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Verses 24 through 28, following God's given instinct is wisdom and salvation. So let's look at this. There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. It's a little badger, okay? The locusts have no king, yet they forth all of them to bands. The spider, the actual Hebrew word means a little poisonous lizard, okay? Taketh hold with her hands, and it is the king's palaces. So this thing about greed, thing about mockery goes away, things about getting rid of immorality, getting bitter out, resisting God, natural order for stuff. And now look at this. What did Christ say to be prepared? What did John the Baptist say? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent. Because the way, God's coming. Christ said, the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, you need to be prepared. Behold, I go and prepare a what? Place for you. Because there's judgment coming. And folks, you need to be prepared against God's judgment with a relationship with His Son. What is His name? And what is the name of His Son? His name is Jesus. The conies are a feeble folk, but they make their houses on the rock. There is none other rock but God. He is the chief cornerstone. He's put me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. The house that's built on a rock will stand fast in the storm. The next thing, the locusts have no king. We serve an invisible king. He's a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You just don't see Him, but you can see the effects of God. And we don't serve an idol. We serve God in spirit and in truth. Just like the locusts, they follow, go places where they're designed to go. And they do what they're designed to do. They have no king. But something's driving them the way they're supposed to go. The spider is in the king's palace and takes hold of things. It's faith. And when you have faith, you dwell in the presence of the king. You see the illustrations? Get rid of this greed. Get rid of this mockery. Get rid of this immorality. Get rid of all the stuff that in Ephesians says should not be named once among you. And follow God. And follow God. Verses 29 through 31, walk worthy of your calling. And you always wonder when you read this about the order of these illustrations. You kind of see it. He says, there be three things which go well. Yea, four are comely and going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for what? Any. We serve the Lion of Judah. A greyhound. Not a bus. Okay? They'll run over top of you. But what does a greyhound, what is it built for? It's built for a race. Let us so run our race with patience. And let's get rid of all the sin and everything that's so easily beset us. Looking unto what? Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. You go to, have you ever been to Greyhound track? Watch a Greyhound race or seen on TV? What do? They chase a electronic rabbit around because it keeps them on task. Folks, we need to trace God. We're built for running. We're built to glorify God. Huh. Paul said this, I finished my course. I've run my race. And he-goat also. You know what a he-goat does? A he-goat can go on top of rocks in the middle of nowhere when no one else can do, and he never slips. If these things be in you and abound, you'll make sure that your election is sure in the Lord, and you'll, and if these things don't fail, you'll never what? Slip. And a king against whose there is no rising up. No one can. Can anyone lay a charge against God's elect? See, we need to. This is our calling. We're called to be a lion with dignity because we are a child of the King. We need to run the race, and we're built to win. We can go in places where man can't go because God will keep us from slipping through faith. And we serve a king who no one can stand before. Everyone that gets in God's presence does what? Look at Isaiah from last Sunday. I am done. I'm a man of unclean lips. Falls down. What did John do? The same thing. No one can go against our God. So we walk worthy of our calling. The inevitable result of iniquity as we close. In verse 32, we need to stop yourself before it's too late. Stop yourself before it's too late. Verse 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Yeah. Hush your mouth. Stop. Don't say it. Don't think it. Stop. If a man can control his tongue, he can control his what? Whole body. Verse 33. If you don't stop and it becomes too late and you fall into this and you become a scorner and a hateful person and a mocker and all this other, and you're greedy and you don't do anything that God wants you to do, it will cause strife. You put milk from a cow in a churn and you churn it, you will get butter. My grandma Drew proved that. She had a churn and she churned everything. And there was butter everywhere. I mean, you go in this one room, it was like the butter room. And there was this bowl, 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 and there was bowls everywhere. Yeah, because you did it every day. And we just ran out of butter. It's kind of interesting. But it will happen. Okay? So you churn milk, you're going to get what?
Butter.
Okay, who wants to demonstrate the second part? Anybody have a volunteer here?
To perform or receive?
What about you, Jeremy? You want to do this?
No.
Perform or receive?
Get COVID tested twice a week.
There you go.
You grab hold of someone's nose and you twist it, you punch him in the nose, you're going to get what?
What?
Bloody nose. It's what? Inevitable. It's going to happen. And why do we think that we're so smart or we're so different, it won't happen to me. So the forcing of wrath, this is not you forcing it on someone else. This is you doing something that you know is wrong. And you do it anyway. Because you'll listen to the lie that I'll get away with it. It's just a little sin. And so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. It'll bring forth strife internally in your life. It'll bring forth strife in your family. It'll bring forth strife in your church. It'll bring forth strife in your city, state, nation, and it's happening today. Folks, it's time. We keep on seeing this. It's time to be holy. It's time to be prepared. Be like the ant. The ant knew that summertime is the only time that it could get food because food be scarce when it gets cold. You don't see them out there running around right now, right? Why aren't we that smart? See, God designed them that way. God designed us the same way to follow Him. And we need to follow Him and glorify Him in all that we do. So we need to follow the lessons God tells us to learn. Are you doing that? Great. If not, why not? We'll have a verse of invitation and we'd be right with God tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. And Father, help us, Lord, to do what is right. See if there be any wicked way in us, Lord. And Father, forgive us of that and help us walk out here cleansed. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.